We tell the story of family businesses from across the St. Louis region on this program. The Business of Family Business is presented by CMA Consulting, and Dan Bean from CMA joins us in studio today with a very special guest, Susan Elliott and Elizabeth Niedringhaus. They're from SSE, System Service Enterprises, Inc., founded in 1966 by Susan. This is going to be a great story to share here today on the program. Susan, I'd like to start with you and kind of get the history of SSE and where it all started.
As a background, I went to work for IBM in 1958 as a programmer.
Wow.
out of college. I spoke to the college counselor. It was Smith College. And I said, is there a job in this country that I do not now have to go to typing school? And they said, IBM is actively recruiting women if you have the analytical, logical aptitude. So I was blessed, and I got the job, came back here to St. Louis. They just decentralized their training, so I could take my train, go home and live with my parents. In those days, a woman would not have gotten an apartment in New York. And it was 11 weeks of training, 8 hours a day, homework every night.
Wow.
The 10th week, 1 week, they told us about computers and said that's all we'd need to know because there weren't going to be that many. It's IBM.
What? And this is the 1950s.
58.
What did computer programming look like in 1958?
Well, it was all big mainframes and punch cards, using punch cards.
And they downplayed the computer side of the future?
Oh, yeah. There weren't going to be that many.
Because they were so large and they would be so expensive for the average consumer.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and then they had a smaller PC that Washington University had up on its hillside. It was called a 650. And I taught myself how to program on it. And they gave me the privilege of going up there and using that computer at 6 o'clock in the morning for a half an hour. So I glommed onto that.
That was your hands-on experience.
That I taught myself. And then fast forward to starting the business. I was pregnant in 1966. And they thought you were so fragile, you couldn't possibly work past 6 months. Mm-hmm. Well, my husband was just out of law school. We needed me to work. So the bank downtown, which was then First National Bank, now Bank of America, wanted to hire me, but they had the same policy. So my husband, with his new law degree, incorporated me. We founded SSE, System Service Enterprises, Inc. And the bank felt protected they could hire a corporation, not a pregnant lady.
Wow.
And so I got to keep working, and that's how the business got started.
You really had to get creative then, didn't you?
Yes.
And so you were with IBM about 8 years at that point, from 58 to 66,
yeah.
Somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And during those years, what was your main role there? What were you doing?
Programming.
Yeah.
And developing software. And
It's different than what we would think about today, though. When we think about developing software, it seems like there's a lot of off-the-shelf programs that aid the way. They do it all the work for you. You barely need to know how to even program. What did programming look like in 1958 to 66?
Well, I mean, way back when, we had a great big sheet of white paper, and you wrote down what the code was that would be the instructions to make the computer work. Then you punched it into punch cards, and you fed the punch cards into the PC and worked from there.
And what kind of programs would you be programming? Like, what would the computer do with these programs? Would it be mostly businesses that would use them for, I don't know, banking, or it was basically businesses, the only people that could afford these things?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I used to always say, even when the PCs came out, unless whomever used it had business or finances they could put on it, it wouldn't be used. They weren't going to put their recipes and silly things like that on a computer.
Yeah. That's for way later. We'll take pictures of those pieces of food that were created with those recipes, too, now. So System Service Enterprises, Inc. Mm-hmm. When you created your own business in 1966, what was your vision for SSE?
Well, in terms of setting the title of the company, you wouldn't put a woman's name in any company name at that point. So my original job at IBM was a systems service representative. Mm-hmm. So we picked that system service for my SS and my last initial E. We picked enterprises because we said that means we could be anything we want to do when mm-hmm. when we grow up.
Were you competing with IBM at the time?
No, I was doing work for them and with them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a kind of a cute story. IBM would have dinner for their employees and spouses at least once a year, if not twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my husband and I would be going into the dinner, then the men were with their spouses. They literally walked right past me and would not speak to me because they didn't want their wives to know that they worked with a woman.
Wow. That detail slipped a little bit there. But but at the time, I mean, times were a lot different now than it was in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
And just to, like you mentioned, you had to incorporate in order to get this off the ground.
To have a job.
Because you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you had to do to set that up. Did it feel like you were at a disadvantage in 1966, or were you able to overcome all these obstacles and it didn't feel that way?
I guess because of the nature of who I am, I did overcome. They didn't seem to be obstacles to me. And I remember talking with other women who were always complaining about, oh, I'm a woman and I can't get a loan and blah, blah, blah. And I used to say, this doesn't make any difference. Just do what you can do, the best that you can do, and it doesn't make any difference whether you're a man or a woman. That was the best advice that I could give to other women who were coming up.
This wasn't an easy field to break into in the 1960s, and when you add and factor in that Susan is a woman starting a computer company, that's a completely different obstacle to get past. We're going to continue to hear her story about SSE, System Service Enterprises, next on The Business of Family Businesses, presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition. You heard about this one, and it did. And Susan's daughter, Elizabeth, is the second generation, but not all family businesses are that lucky. Many family businesses, they may have an idea who the successor may be, but are they actively working to unify the next generation and even develop them to be effective business owners? Let me tell you about CMA Consulting. They have the team, the experts, and the knowledge to help your family business take that next step. And you start sooner than later. When was the last time you even discussed with your family the insights of what is necessary to keep that family business going? Contact Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Don't wait any longer. If you have any of those lingering questions, ask him. Dan, what can you do for my family business? The website is cmaconsult.com, or if you feel more comfortable, you can call 314-721-1860, cmaconsult.com. Telling the story of family businesses, it's The Business of Family Business, and today we're with Susan and Elizabeth from SSE, System Service Enterprises, Inc., also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. And if you have a great family business story to share, we would love to hear it. Reach out to Dan Bean. The website is cmaconsult.com. When you look at the business landscape, a lot has changed in that industry. You probably have seen a lot of changes over the years.
Sure.
What were some of the most difficult changes in your industry over the years that you had to overcome and adapt to?
Well, I don't remember anything being difficult. It was just in technology, my favorite expression is there's nothing as constant as change.
Mm-hmm.
And when you had techies working for you, they were always playing with the technology and doing the next new thing, so that when you got a big client like Emerson or Monsanto or Anheuser-Busch, and they were getting some new technology, our guys had already been playing with it. So we were ready to come in and assist them either in installing their PCs, teaching the employees how to use the PCs, and classes for their employees.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I want to talk to you about the spirit of a business owner like this, because when I look at it as an outsider, I think, wow, those are some roadblocks that were put out. That must have been difficult. She said, no, you know, we're overcomers. I love hearing stories like that.
So I think, you know, every business when it starts up has a host of anticipated matters it has to deal with and overcome. And there's a host of unanticipated, unknown, they just appear, and you have to deal with them. And every entrepreneur that starts a business is persistent, if nothing else.
Right.
They just don't take no for an answer. They just keep going.
Yeah. And Susan, you brought your daughter Elizabeth in today.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Let me ask you this, Elizabeth. How much of your mother's story did you know growing up?
Well, I became very aware of the business when it started to exist in the basement of our house.
Yeah.
And that was... I finally remember having to call down the clothes chute to get her out, come out of the office to have dinner because she'd be working away down there. So that was our intercom in the house, was yelling,
the clothes chute. Kid didn't like the clothes chute, though? I mean, that was a great mode of, you know, communication.
Oh, yeah. And lots of other fun mystery you could have. When I grew up, so in the younger years, she was freelancing and doing a lot of volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think that until I went into the business did I really fully appreciate what she had done.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me then, when she was volunteering, she was doing a lot of things that other moms mm-hmm. were just doing.
Can I just tell you one more story that I just love?
Yeah.
My two daughters were, I always had let them be extremely independent.
We might have been raised by wolves at one point.
Let themselves in the door, and I learned much later that they were latchkey kids. And I had not known that expression. And so there was one day when Elizabeth was dancing on her bike, mm-hmm. and she fell and broke her arm. And she was 13, and our daughter Catherine was 16. And I said, well, this is perfect. Your sister just got her license. She can take you to the doctor. And there they were. They had to re-break her arm, put a cast on it, 13 and 16.
Yeah.
But they managed it. And it worked.
So what did SSE look like in your basement at the time? Like, what were you doing down there?
Well, let me back up and say we went to an Arts and Education Council auction.
Mm-hmm.
They had the original PC up for auction that Famous and Barr had donated.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I laughed going out to the event. Can you imagine having a computer in your home? And then, bless his heart, he raised his hand and we got the PC for $4,000.
Wow. What year was that?
1983.
Okay.
So, and IBM had just come out with the PC.
Right.
We got home that night and a friend had said, Donnie Danforth, bless his heart, what are you going to do with that PC? And I said, I'm going to revive my business. I was so excited. I was awake all night. And, of course, I didn't have a business plan. So I had a piece of plywood as my desk, washer and dryer on the backside of the room, and the dog at my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And
this $4,000 PC.
And there we were. And I had to figure out, I had to go back to Famous and Barr to learn how to use it.
Were they willing to teach you?
Oh, yeah, because they were geeks. They were real techies.
And there's probably not a lot of people that knew how to use it at the time. It's probably a pretty novelty thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, what's a mouse?
The floppy disk.
All of those things.
Yeah. And people, when they were talking about mouses, they'd kind of go around the wall like, is that how I use the mouse? No.
Do you ever have that same feeling today with all the new technology that comes out?
No, because I think we tackle them just the way we did then. Mm. It is what it is, and you make it work. And when you have all these geeks working for you, they're way out there ahead of everything else. They've probably already played with it.
At SSE, did you have employees?
We started out with using independent contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tax law change came out, and I believe it was 1986.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole big deal about if you had people working for you who worked more than half time, You told them what to do, where to go, set their schedules. And so we realized that, and with legal help, this was just a different world, and these had to be employees, not independent contractors. Mm-hmm. So we had to take on 40-some-odd employees.
Wow. You had that much business, 40 employees.
Yeah, yeah. We moved over off of Old Olive into a little small 1,000-square-foot office, and then down the street to a 3,000-square-foot office.
Wow.
Also, at the beginning of when the PCs came out, a friend, his name was Betty Schwartz, bought PCs for Ladue High School. Mm-hmm. And she wanted the school to feel like she had made a wise decision, so she asked me if we could teach classes at night. Hmm. Guess we can figure out how to do that. And so the classes were 5 days a week, and people had to sign up for one night a week for 4 weeks.
Right.
So that's how we got started in the training business.
You look at all of the education that goes around programming today. You have T-Rex and the Cortex region, and it just continues to expand and expand here in St. Louis. You're really the origin story of all that. It seems like you really started the education in St. Louis to try to teach other people your craft.
Well, I was very blessed. It worked out, and to Dan's point earlier, if it's important to you, you persevere.
We learn more about this technology company founded by Susan Elliott that happened some many years ago in 1966, still flourishing today, on The Business of Family Business, the story of System Service Enterprises, Inc. More next. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and every weekend we tell you the story of a family business, some of the obstacles they have overcome in order to flourish today and to future generations. And this one is a great story of a technology company started in 1966. It's called System Service Enterprises. We're joined in studio with the founder, Susan Elliott, also her daughter, who now runs the company today, Elizabeth Niedringhaus, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. We'll continue our conversation. With SSE, if you had some decisions to make, are there people that were advising you, or are there an inner group of people that you would talk to?
I would say yes. It depends. From the technology standpoint, we had the techies working for us, independent mm-hmm. contractors and then employees. So they would keep me apprised and mm-hmm. up to date. But as far as the business world, I developed an advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
They were fabulous. Not only did they, I promised them 4 meetings a year, mm-hmm. no homework, and just come and give me business advice.
Oh, okay.
And they did, and that helped me reach out to their companies, their friends, and other businesses. Ed Schnook was one of the original ones, and he was great. When he asked other people to join the advisory board, of course they said yes.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to ask you if it's reasonable to expect an advisory board to help a business grow like that.
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. So it is reasonable to expect an advisory board to offer critique and advice about sales processes, marketing, channels to market, those kinds of things. It's also reasonable to ask them to identify prospects that the company would follow up on, mm-hmm. but I think it's an overreach to ask them to try to close deals and bring business in themselves.
Right. Monsanto insisted that we become certified as a woman-owned business because they needed that in some whatever their plans were. So I had to go to Chicago to become a woman-owned business. My favorite expression is that it's like you're guilty until you're proven innocent. They absolutely would not believe that a woman had founded a business and was running the business.
Oh, wow. How about
they
that?
They thought it had to be some man behind the scenes who was really running it, but I was just there in order to try to get the WBE.
I see. So on paper, they thought it was a way for you to get some ins into companies, but they couldn't believe
that this
was your 100% owned company. That's another thing you had to overcome, but you persevere,
and guilty until proven innocent. I just always loved that.
At System Service Enterprises, were you 100% owner at the time, or were you maybe have some ownership shared with your husband?
No, I was 100% to begin with.
Yeah.
But then I shared some stock ownership with two different gentlemen that I brought into the business. One as a president and another as a chief financial officer. But then when they left the business, bought that back from them.
I see.
And then through financial advice, I gifted the stock then to the girls and they then to their kids.
So, Elizabeth, let's talk about how you got into SSE and really your role today. So originally, what's your origin story there?
So my background was in sales. Mm-hmm. After college, I went out to California and was working for a wholesale apparel manufacturer out there and got my MBA on the job. I like to say the business was a family-owned business. The two founders were getting divorced and created some opportunity for somebody who was young and hungry and wanted to learn. The story coming back to SSE, I guess after a couple of years of experience under my belt, mom called up a few times and said, "How about it? We have a sales position." I came out once and interviewed and thought I was going to come back and then went back out. And they, of course, hung the moon and doubled my salary, which at that point in time was not much. But so wasn't a big deal for them, but meant the world to me that they wanted. So I decided to stay on out there and had to call mom and tell her I was going to decline the offer, which she graciously accepted. But then it was probably another 2 years later that she called and said, "You know, there's another opening in sales and you just can't come at any time. You have to come if there's an opening. So why don't you think about it?" And so that was 1995 and here I am today. So.
Can I just add quickly that my husband had just early retired and we were going around the world on the Concorde.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Elizabeth from Hawaii and said, "Okay, that's it. There's a spot there. If you want it, you need to, you know, need to let me know if you'll come work for us." And we got back three weeks later, and she was already in St. Louis at the office working.
You were already there by the time you came back from vacation.
Yes, yes. And just only used her first name. "Hi, I'm Elizabeth."
Right.
She didn't connect herself.
So she went. You went through the hiring process. Did they know you were Susan's daughter?
Sure, yeah. I mean, they
earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, they knew. But I decided once I was sitting there at a desk that it was easier to just be Elizabeth than I'm sure everybody knew who I was, but it seemed easier to just be low key.
Right.
And you didn't report to me originally.
Ever.
The gentleman I brought in, Mark Kuhlman, who had been a senior vice president and general counsel at McDonnell Douglas and whom I made president, Elizabeth reported to.
Wow. So you were hired in, and this was before you were gifted stock or was this after?
Before I was gifted stock.
Right.
I came in with no expectation.
Right.
Sort of thinking, I'll give this a try. I may move back out to California if this doesn't work out. Right. Really no expectation that one day I'd be running the business.
Right. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. So you have SSE at this time, a growing company in an industry that's exploding. You know, they're very good revenue and they have, you know, a lot of employees. They're 40 years plus employees. And I love the process of bringing in Elizabeth because you hear about some family businesses where they'll do anything they can to make a position for the next generation. In this case, it was, well, you can only come in when there's an opening. And so, family, sometimes it happens like that, sometimes it doesn't. What do you think of the approach that they took in order to bring Elizabeth into the family business?
I really respect Susan's principle of there has to be an opening for you to come into the business. Too many families, I think, create a job for an unemployed family member in the next generation, all of a sudden needs a job, and everybody in the company knows it's a make work job, and it doesn't really treat that person as a whole person.
Right.
The unusual thing about it is Elizabeth came in while her mother was on vacation, and that's just a wrinkle I'm going to have to remember so I can tell that story again and again.
Let's say surprise at that point. Yeah. Welcome back from vacation.
We continue one last time with Susan and Elizabeth from SSE, System Service Enterprises, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and family businesses in some ways have a lot of emotion built into the business, but I want you to imagine how that is elevated when the business, when a business owner is ready to make that decision to transition some of the business to the next generation, let it be a leadership or even ownership or stock in the company. CMA Consulting, that should be your first call. They'll help and guide you through that process to make sure to align the current and next generation and develop them to be effective business owners. Reach out to Dan Bean for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting. And the first question you should ask is, Dan, what can you do to help my family business? Go over it with him. It doesn't hurt to call. It doesn't hurt to ask the question. They can come up with a great plan for you. CMAconsult.com. That's the website. Or give them a call at 314-721-1860. CMA, they excel at helping increase the odds of a successful generational transition along with keeping family harmony. CMAconsult.com. That's the website, CMAconsult.com. I want to thank our guests one more time, Susan Elliott and Elizabeth Niederinghouse from System Service Enterprises, and a great conversation with what it takes to start a technology company in the 1960s that continues to flourish today. Also joining us is Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, telling the story of family businesses. You can find online, too, if you want to listen back to this program at KMOX.com. Just look for the Business of Family Business in the podcast section. System Service Enterprises, Inc. at the time. What was your job, Elizabeth? And you said you were working with sales, but how did that develop into where you are today?
Intentionally, sort of, I got into sales and carved out a niche there, really selling our network services to small and mid-sized business. It was something I sort of naturally gravitated to. I enjoyed the idea of getting to learn and know these businesses and figuring out how to really help support those business owners grow. Like any good business, there were challenges operationally. And so I convinced my mom at that time after, I guess, in sales for about 2.5, 3 years, that it made sense to give me a shot. I had a plan to go over and work on the operation side of the business and put some business processes in place. She, I guess, reviewing that, gave me that opportunity. I did that for several years. Mm-hmm. And then I actually was out on maternity leave with my oldest son and came back and she said, well, how about you come back and run sales?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the opportunity to get back. And I did love being on the front end of the business development, and again, getting out and working closely with the clients. So I did that for several years. And then it was 2004, came back from my second maternity leave. Mm-hmm. So with a 3-month baby at home, my mom said, you know, we sat down and now's the right time, which was a little shocking to think about with this young child at home. But I was ready. I was excited. It was by then very clear to me this was an opportunity that I wanted to pursue. I had ideas and plans about where we could take the business. Mm-hmm. And so it just naturally happened. It
Great.
Wasn't, again, anything that was planned from the beginning.
And Susan, what did you see in Elizabeth? What kind of leadership did you see in her that led you to approach her in that way to continue to grow?
Well, as a leader, she has always had the ability to make a decision, don't delay on it, make a decision and follow through. And not all people are able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
She had majored in psychology in college, and so she had a wonderful ability to communicate and relate to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when I was able to stay longer in Florida because she was there and doing such a good job. And I came back that particular after winter down there of 3 months. And it was a business meeting of all the employees were gathered. And Elizabeth was running the business. And it was obvious to me they looked to her as running the business. It was just perfect.
Mm.
So she just kept on going. And I...
So what's your role today?
I'm chairman of the board. I call one meeting a year.
That's great.
Perfect.
Well,
absolutely perfect.
How do you think Elizabeth has handled SSC through the last decade?
I mean, she's doing an extraordinary job.
Yeah.
The business is way bigger than I would have ever imagined. And we have an office in Jacksonville, that the Naval Air Station there, that she has grown from scratch. And that's fabulous. And I know she has plans going forward to try to get some people in other cities. Elizabeth would have to tell you about that. So, in my wildest dreams, I wouldn't have ever imagined that the business could do that well. So I feel like we're very blessed.
Wow. You brought your book, and I was just talking to you briefly about it. What's the title of your book? Across the Divide.
Across the Divide, Navigating the Digital Revolution as a Woman Entrepreneur and CEO.
You were showing me some photos in that before we started the interview, and there's one with you with Alan Greenspan.
Right.
And I had no idea you were involved with the Federal Reserve. What years, and can you tell that story?
Well, I was deputy chairman of the board from 96 through 98. And then they made me chairman of the board in 99 and 2000.
It's amazing.
And, well, I was very blessed, but they wanted a woman to in that role. And as I was telling you, that was when Greenspan called it the era of irrational exuberance. And then in 2000, in the Y2K issue, is when the dot-com bubble occurred. And all these companies thought they could start a business, the work would just come to them, which was not the case.
You said you like to golf now. How's your short game? Are you pretty good at putting?
Putting, yes. You know, golf is golf. You can be good one day and crummy the next. But I'm blessed. I love it. I love athletics. I like to be outside and exercising.
Elizabeth, what's your vision for SSC in the future?
Well, we're uniquely positioned. So on the training side of the business, we really transformed since I took it over to focus on DOD training, which the commercial businesses that we served, unfortunately, every time the economy went south, they quit investing in training. So it was very difficult to have a sustainable business model. And so that's really where we shifted the focus to the DOD space. And that's been fabulous in the place we will continue to look to grow and for new opportunity. Blessing has been that because we've had to work with the DOD and we've had to learn over the last 10 years how to properly secure data and manage data, we now are able to transfer that over to our network services division. And with smaller and mid-sized businesses that we continue to serve, now recognizing the threats and the threat to their livelihood and their business, that business is just burgeoning.
Feels like that could be an uphill battle because there's so many different threats out there.
Cyber threats are getting into businesses, and most business owners can't believe it when we tell them that, but it's through employees clicking on emails, downloading things they don't realize have threats attached to them that are actually the biggest risk to most companies. So hence another training opportunity for us, because we can get in and help educate employees.
Employees voluntarily give up more information than they need to, sometimes just by asking them. And it's tough to combat something like that. You can have a very secure computer system and a very sophisticated network, but if you have an employee with access that voluntarily allows an outsider to get into it, you know, those things happen, it seems like, all the time.
Well, one of our favorite programs that we offer to companies is actually a programmed spoofing tool. So we set up a kind of a sting operation where we'll send out spoofed emails to employees and figure out who are likely to fall prey to those emails. And then we can direct more specific training to the organization or to individuals as need be. And and that's really the first line of defense.
They did that here. A lot of people got caught. it's a very smart thing to do. It's a training. Elizabeth, you know, if people wanted to check out what you're doing today and look at some of the different services, or maybe there's some business owners listening right now and they want to learn more about what you offer at SSC, where can they find you guys?
You can find us on the web, sseinc.com, and you can read about our businesses. We're also aggressively hiring. We've brought on more than 100 employees since January of this year.
Wow.
So if you no young technical people who are looking for opportunities. We're software engineers, network engineers. And again, because of the work we do in the defense space, folks who are retired military who have pilots or mechanics, we are constantly looking to bring those folks on for their expertise as we look to develop training products to support the military.
Great. Pilots and mechanics.
I know. It's a little unique.
My cousin's husband is exactly doing that right now. Yeah, they live in New Jersey, retired military. He's a mechanic, but he works on private planes, I think, for Comcast. Yeah.
So this is, we find those folks who have that experience who want, they never realized a job that we can give them exist, where they could take what they've been trained to do their entire career and help us to develop training products, whether it's online courseware, technical publications, or involved in creating software that runs the simulators that the military uses.
That's amazing. Here in St. Louis, all the things you learn about your community. Yeah. And what a need. You have all these jobs open right now. That's great for the people that are living here now looking for that.
And we relocate a ton of folks. It's hard sometimes to find all the talent here in St. Louis, but we're open to relocation, and we're also young graduates, particularly in the IT field. We have great opportunities for them to get involved in our programs, and so a lot of the schools and universities will come to us, and we can train them up. We don't need a ton of business experience. One of the things that I think made it so successful was in 2004, the strategic planning initiative that Susan really allowed me to run with the team of leaders that would run SSE with me in 2004. We spent about a year working off of Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, and a hedgehog council to figure out really where we were going to go with the business. And again, we had four businesses, decided to focus in on two of them. But I think that strategic planning and the ability to run that, have the ownership of the vision, and then be able to carry it forward was really part of the secret sauce in the transition between the generations.
Yeah. How many people were involved in that?
There was six of us that was the core group that would then take the business forward. I knew I was young at that point in time. I was not a technologist by trade, so I really had to surround myself with people who knew things that I didn't know, who brought expertise to the leadership team, and it was really a pivotal opportunity to own that vision and build that team.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to get your impressions of the story we heard today with SSC. Pretty remarkable story.
Very remarkable, Ryan. And I think this is the first business we've had on the show that was founded by a woman and led by a woman from day one and then turned over to her daughter as generation two. Susan talked about the challenges of a woman founding and leading a business beginning in the mid-60s and for years after that. And it's her persistence that and a great network and seeing opportunities that have been instrumental to her success. Elizabeth has done a great job of laying out a strategic direction when she became CEO in 2008, president in 2004. And it's her vision and her strategy and her leadership that have let this company grow. And if G3 does come into the business, I think they're going to have a very good business to come into.
Well, Susan and Elizabeth, I'm so glad you came in to share the story of SSC. It's a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing it on the Business of Family Business.
Well, we're just blessed that you invited us, and it's been a fabulous opportunity. We appreciate it.